Over 3 years ago, I came out as a transgender female to Carol, my family, and friends. One of my oldest friends, Amy, recommended a book to Carol and I. It's titled, She's Not There, A Life in Two Genders by Jennifer Finney Boylan. Jennifer is a married transgender woman, parent of two boys, college professor, author, musician, and columnist for the New York Times. Her story of her journey and her family spoke very directly to us. I've selected a few short edited passages here that illustrated to me significant events in the life of a transgender person, such as self-awareness, coming out to your family, your partner, your friends, your coworkers, and then building a new life together after coming out. Before I share Jennifer's story, I must mention that her story, and ours as well, is full of white privilege. Her story and mine is not that of a transgender person of color, perhaps living in poverty and at great risk for personal violence, rape, unemployment, and outright discrimination. I recognize this and I place this before you before I share her story. Following are some passages from She's Not There on self-awareness, coming out, and relationships. On self-awareness and knowing, Jennifer wrote, I did not know the word transsexual back then, and the word transgender had not yet been invented. I had heard the word transvestite, of course, but it didn't seem to apply to me. Although my understanding of exactly how much trouble I was in grew even more specific over time, as a child, I surely understood enough about my condition to know that it was something I better keep private. This is 40 years ago. By intuition, I was certain that the thing I knew to be true was something others would find both impossible and hilarious. My conviction, by the way, had nothing to do with a desire to be feminine, but it had everything to do with being female. On coming out, this passage is from a conversation between Jennifer and her coworker, colleague, and best friend. Jennifer says, Rick, I'm closer to you than anyone except for Grace. And over the years, we've shared all kinds of adventures. He nodded, we have. Except there is one thing about me that you don't know because I kept it secret from you. The thing that you don't know about me is that I'm transgender. I'm a transsexual. I've identified as female since I was a child. My sense of having a woman's spirit has almost never left me. The only time that it ever vanished was when I fell in love with Grace, and that's his spouse. And when that happened, I felt that what I had hoped for was true, that I had at last been cured by love. I paused to catch my breath. Rick was absolutely motionless, except that I haven't been cured. Very quietly, Rick said, Jesus, Jim. On Grace's decision to remain with Jennifer, not every person who finds him or herself with a transgender partner has to decide what I decided. Everyone gets to make their own decisions. There are things to be gained from working through adversity with the person that you love. There are things to be gained from raising a family together. We didn't stay together only for the children. We stayed together for each other. Jennifer and Grace's story spoke very directly to Carol and I. It gave us hope when we needed it most. It modeled a possible path forward for us together. And it gave us a sense that we are not alone in our relationship. This is not as easy as we make it appear sometimes. We can never thank my friend Amy enough for recommending She's Not There. Amy said to me recently that this book should be required reading, and so I recommend it to you to perhaps help your understanding and acceptance, both of us and transgender people in general. Thank you.
Good morning. I just wanted to, I know Carol announced it, but I just wanted to remind everyone that next Sunday is Reading Pride Fest, and the LGBTQ caucus thanks all those for volunteering at the table, and we hope that all of you will come out and support this event. I know I'm really looking forward to it. And it seems like t-shirts are in today, because I am wearing my Stonewall Inn t-shirt, and that'll come up in a minute. I wanted to share my thoughts on marching for Pride. Pat spoke, and other people here have spoken about the 50th anniversary of the Stonewall Inn riots. That event was a pivotal in the gay rights movement. That image of gay and transgender people retaliating against the police after so many years of allowing such treatment to go unchallenged stirred up an unexpected spirit among the LGBTQ community. I lived on Long Island then and remember watching it on the news. And I was pregnant with my son Michael at the time, and how ironic that I would march with him in a New York City gay pride parade. Activists involved in organizing the first march in New York City in 1970 wanted to commemorate the first year anniversary of the Stonewall Inn riots. The gay power slogan was changed to gay pride. Many transgender activists were an integral part of organizing the first New York City Pride March. And the Stonewall Inn was always a vital LGBTQ institution. For relatively little money, drag queens, runaways, homeless LGBTQ youth, and others could spend the night there. It is sad that the gay pride marches over all these years have really not included fighting for the rights of the T in the LGBTQ community. For the most part, our transgender individuals are still denied rights for jobs, housing. Many are being murdered. This is not acceptable. We have a lot of work to do. The New York City Pride March has continued every year since 1970. The LGBTQ community has achieved significant rights since. On June 26, 2015, same-sex marriage became legal in the United States. On June 23, 2015, Stonewall Inn achieved landmark status. In 2016, Michael, his husband, and I went to the Stonewall Inn, and that's where I got the t-shirt. It's really a very small, tiny bar, but when you're sitting in there, you can sense the history that went on there. Now to the march. After Michael came out to me in 1987, I joined PFLAG Long Island. In 1988, the group decided to march in the New York City Pride Parade. Michael wanted to march with me. So we all rode the train into New York City, and I was excited but a little nervous. These were still very homophobic times. I wasn't sure about the crowd lining the sidewalks. Would they boo? Would they throw things? We assembled near Fifth Avenue, and PFLAG had a banner, and the group picked Michael and I to help carry the banner. I had tears in my eyes. I still do thinking about it. I was so proud. As we proceeded down Fifth Avenue, we got cheers from the crowd every block. I'm getting goosebumps. It was just amazing. I will never forget it. I asked Michael about a month or so ago about his memory of that day, and he said he was very proud to walk with me, and also he enjoyed checking out all the guys. That's my son. I truly believe marching for pride encompasses the first three UU principles: the inherent worth and dignity of every person, justice, equity, and compassion in human relations, acceptance of one another, and encouragement to spiritual growth in our congregations. Recently, my experiences with wearing this t-shirt, I was at the West Reading Art on the Avenue, and so many people came up to me and thanked me for wearing it. One woman asked me if she could take a picture of the back, and another gay couple, and this was before the 50th celebration in New York, another gay couple stopped and told me they were going to the event, wanted to know if I was going. I was like, no, I wish. It really made me feel good that people commented on the shirt. But I do fear that the current regime we're under is taking us back to the homophobic days. Hate crimes are increasing. We have a vice president who says horrible things about gay people, and his wife teaches at a school that does not accept LGBTQ students. We must never give up fighting for LGBTQ rights. Thank you.
Like a copy of the transcript of this sermon, you can find most week's messages at www.uuberks.org/sermons. If you have any thoughts or conversation about today's message, we hope you'll take a moment to stop by our Facebook page and share them. And from all of us at First UU Berks, may this chalice light your path and guide your way until you join us again.